I'd like for you to get your Bibles and turn to two portions of Scripture. First, I would like for you to turn to the Scripture we've been looking at for a few weeks, Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And then put a marker there and turn to the book of Romans chapter 1. Jeremiah 31, then Romans chapter 1. We've been going through a series entitled Understanding the New Covenant. Understanding the New Covenant. And I would encourage you, if you've not been able to be here or you've missed some of the sermons in this series, to go and listen to them online so that you can follow along with the series so that it'll make more and more sense to you, everything about the New Covenant. The New Covenant is something that God has made possible for you and for me in Christ Jesus. And he's done it to give you and me the ability to be righteous in the sight of God. The Lord placed it upon my heart to speak a series of sermons on the New Covenant, specifically understanding the New Covenant. And the reason being is sometimes we hear the words New Testament, New Covenant, but we really don't fully understand nor grasp what the meaning of that is, what the terminology means. And so we've been establishing first that God is a God of covenants, and he made covenants with the land, for instance, with Noah, that he would never flood the earth to destroy all life again. He made a covenant with individuals, the Abrahamic covenant, that through him all the nations would be blessed, and the Davidic covenant, that there would always be an heir on the throne. But then there was the old covenant that was given to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai, but it was a covenant that was broken. It was a covenant that could not be kept because man is faulty, man is sinful, and therefore could not keep the old covenant. And so God would bring a new covenant. And that's what our subject is. Today I want to speak with you specifically on this, the new covenant and the righteousness of God. The new covenant and the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me as your servant to relay your heart to this, your people. For Lord, you have done an amazing thing through Christ Jesus and the finished work of Calvary, that you've made each and every one of us not only to be adopted into the household of God as your children, but you have made us righteous. And so I pray that today you would help me to explain the fullness of the gospel. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take the words that I speak and bring life to them in every heart, every life, in Jesus' name. Remove distractions. And we pray that most of all we would hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31 says this. It says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor or every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Should have put a marker in Romans, look at chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The Old Testament in Jeremiah shares with you and me that God had made an old covenant with the children of Israel, but that old covenant was broken. The old covenant was established during the giving of the law when the Israelites were at the foot of Mount Sinai as Moses went into that holy mountain and came down with the law of God. And when Moses rehearsed these laws to the children of Israel were quick to say, "We will obey the covenant." And in response to that covenant between Israel and God, blood was sprinkled upon the house of Israel as a sign of the covenant. And they said, "We will keep it, but it wouldn't be too long." To be honest with you, it probably wasn't a few seconds or minutes later, because we're just that bad, that the Israelites began to disobey God and break the very covenant that they said we would keep. And in Jeremiah 31:31-34, we see that they said they would keep it, but they broke the covenant, and it was because of the fact that man is unable to keep God's righteous standards. God requires perfect obedience. God requires that humanity follow Him in such perfection that there is no breaking of His laws. That is the perfect righteousness that God requires. And because that standard is so high in comparison to man's inability, man would be unable to keep the law. And it's no wonder that God would say they would break that covenant even though He was a husband to them. The old covenant was good, but it was faulty in the sense that man could not keep it. And so God would say through Jeremiah that He would make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And He says, "This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put My law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be My people. They will teach no more, every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know Me." How is this possible, that from the least of them to the greatest would know God this way? How would it be possible? And He says, "For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more." The law of God was God's perfect righteousness on display. In many ways, it shows what God requires, but it would only show our inability to keep God's requirements. That God being holy and us being unholy would ultimately fail in the sight of God's perfect standard. So that law of God would be broken. But God would come up with and make a new covenant that would make the people able to keep the law in such a way that God would forgive all their iniquities, and it would so cleanse man's sin that the Bible says that God said, "I will remember their sin no more." What kind of program would God bring to the house of Israel that would take away all of their sin? What would God do that would make man able to stand before His holiness and ultimately meet all of those requirements of the old covenant? And so God would do something, and He would bring a new covenant. And I'm here to tell you that the new covenant was brought to you and to me and to the house of Israel through Christ and through Christ alone. I'm here to tell you that Jesus really is the new covenant. Without Christ, there is no new covenant, and His blood that was shed was the sign of the covenant and would ultimately cleanse man's sin and even his conscience to make a man to be able to stand before God guiltless, forgiven, washed, so thoroughly clean that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The new covenant that God was speaking of in Jeremiah was talking about the day of Jesus. and all that Jesus would come to do for you and for me on the cross. The old covenant was a covenant of works. The new covenant is a covenant of grace, unmerited favor. The old covenant could not be kept. The new covenant has been kept. In the old covenant, there were many sacrifices, sacrifice upon sacrifice. In the new covenant, there is one sacrifice. The old covenant was faulty. The new covenant is perfect. The old covenant brought us into bondage. The new covenant brings us into freedom. The old covenant is religious. The new covenant is relational. The new covenant is a way and a means for God to make you acceptable in His sight. The new covenant would make man stand before God as if he kept all of those standards that he had set before the people in the old covenant, but they couldn't. But he would do it by making a covenant with man. And there would be a man that would keep it. And his name is Jesus. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, born on that manger on a Christmas morn many, many years ago, Jesus was born without the stain of sin. He was not born a sinner like you and me. He was born of the Virgin. The stain of sin didn't travel into Christ. He was born without sin. And when Jesus was born, he was born a full human being. And he lived his life in obedience and in subjection to his parents. And in his upbringing all the way till the time that he died on the cross, he kept the law perfectly. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He kept the covenants and the feasts. He ultimately was the one that would fulfill all the demands of the law as a man. Because you and I couldn't, a man would do it for us. And so Jesus would live a perfect life. And not only would his life be the fulfillment of the law, that perfect life's blood would be the sign of the covenant that would cleanse you and me of all of our sin and sinfulness forever. When you came to God through Jesus Christ and you said, "Lord, forgive me. I repent of my sin. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." When you came to God and you exercised faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins were wiped away forever. Amen. Amen. He dealt with your sin past, present, and future in Christ Jesus. And He made you to be the righteousness of God. And today we're talking about the new covenant in God's righteousness. You see, God would be the one throughout Scripture that would supply man's need. Just like we talked about last Sunday. When they were naked in the garden, God covered them. God, through Jeremiah, spoke to the people and said, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like crimson, they shall be as snow." Amen. Though they be red like crimson, though they be red, they would be like wool and so on and so forth, like scarlet. Amen. God is the one that supplied your answer and mine. And He provided it through Jesus Christ. Today, after all is said and done, we will take communion, Lord willing. But I forgot to mention that to Brother Pedro. Sorry about that, Brother Pedro. Short notice there. But I want you just to listen to the Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as it talks about the new covenant. Stay in Romans. You don't have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But when the Lord's Supper was instituted, it showed the new covenant in the Lord's Supper. It said this. It said, "For this is the Lord speaking," as Paul was reiterated in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We all know that well. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus would be the mediator of the new covenant. Moses was the mediator of the old covenant. And so God would do through Christ Jesus what was impossible under the old covenant. God would give to you and me through the person of Christ Jesus and his fulfillment of the old covenant, God's perfect righteousness. Do you hear me? When God looks at you as a believer in Christ, he sees you standing in his complete righteousness. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all of your sin and wickedness was transferred and was washed under the blood. Amen? But then, his righteousness, Christ's perfect righteousness, was transferred into your account. It's God's imputed righteousness. So that now, God credits to your account Christ's perfect righteousness. That's why we're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by our perfections or the lack thereof. We're saved by the complete perfection of Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And our complete trust in him. Amen? You see, God, under the old covenant and in planning the new, had to make something so powerful that he would change the hearts of people so that they would want to love him and do his will. God would change man's heart in such a way that man would now desire to obey God versus feeling like they're supposed to obey God. And he would do it through the new covenant, and it would be done through Christ. When you accepted Jesus, now I keep on saying that, but it's just a lot that took place when you received him. When you received him by faith, you were born again by the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit came into your heart. And when he came into your heart, he forgave all of your iniquity, and you were born brand new in Christ Jesus, so that now your sins are remembered no more. So now that you would want to obey God, because now the Holy Spirit dwells within your heart. When you are born again by the Spirit of God, something changed inside. Where before, all you wanted to do was wrong and unrighteousness, and we could care less about the righteousness of God. When you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and when you received him, all of a sudden now you desire righteousness and hate evil. That's why when a true born-again believer has been saved, when a person has been truly born again, they are uncomfortable in sin. They will not be okay with sin. It is impossible to live in sin anymore. Yeah. Whoa, Pastor James, that was pretty strong what you just said. The Holy Spirit has now inscribed within your heart the very heart of the law. So that now there is no way that we will be comfortable in sin any longer. Amen. Amen. Now that doesn't mean you can choose to go the wrong way. I'm not taking away your human free will. You can choose to go that way. I can choose to go that way if I so desire, but I don't want to. I love my Jesus and I know he loves me too. But there is something different inside of us to where now we want to serve God versus we have to serve God. In Romans chapter 1, and then we're going to move forward as well. Just follow with me. Paul begins to show the righteousness of God in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for he says this, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Remember, the word gospel means the good message of Jesus. I'm not ashamed to tell you about what Jesus has done. I'm not ashamed to tell you about my Jesus, he's saying. The good message of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel message of Jesus, in the message of Jesus Christ, in it there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And Paul introduces the thesis, the core of his teaching of Romans. I really don't believe that we can have a full grasp of the new covenant without understanding the book of Romans. Because Paul was the one that was given by revelation an understanding of the mystery of the gospel. To be honest with you, he was given a revelation of the new covenant. And he was given the responsibility to give that revelation to the church. And in the book of Romans, Paul begins to introduce the righteousness of God. And I'm here to tell you that the righteousness of God is obtained by faith in Jesus Christ. He's the one that fulfilled all of the law's demands in your and my place. And so when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, He not only comes to dwell in our hearts, we begin to dwell in Christ as well. The Bible says that God sees us as in Christ. You've got to understand that Jesus is a man, but we are in Christ by faith. One of the scriptures says we are robed with Christ. Another scripture says, I have put on Christ as a covering. He is our righteousness. Kind of follow along with me. The law, listen to this. The law focuses on the righteousness that is demanded of us. The gospel is about the righteousness that is provided for us. Let me say that one again. The law focuses on the righteousness that is demanded of us, but we couldn't do it. The gospel is about the righteousness that is provided for us. God's perfect righteousness has been provided for us, and all we have to do is come to God by faith and receive God's righteousness. Whether you realized it or not, when you said yes to Jesus in a church altar, on your knees at your house, somewhere, wherever it was, and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you didn't realize it, but at that moment you're receiving the righteousness of God. And it's been provided for you and for me through Christ Jesus. I'm talking to you about the new covenant. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 says this, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us the wisdom of God, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. Christ has become to us righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. It's nothing that we do. It's what He has already done for us. And we receive it by faith. And this was the message of Paul. In Romans chapter 1, Paul introduced his thesis, didn't he? The righteousness of God. But then in verse 18 of chapter 1, Paul begins to just jump out of nowhere, it seems. And he begins to show the unrighteousness of humanity. He begins to show in chapter 1, verse 18, all the way through chapter 3, verse 20. If you have the time to read it later, go ahead, please do so. But you're going to read how Paul begins to show, look, everyone is unrighteous. First, he begins to show there's the obvious unrighteous, the sinner, the ones that are experiencing God's wrath. Then he begins to show that there's the ones that are seemingly righteous, that seemingly are good Gentiles or even good people, but he begins to show even those that are seemingly living a good life, if they are not saved by the blood of Jesus, they are unrighteous. They are outside of the righteousness of God. And then he begins to go to his own people, the Jews, who were very religious. They were keepers of the law, supposedly, not perfectly though. And he begins to show them, look, you're unrighteous too. And so he establishes that all the Jews and Gentiles are unrighteous in the sight of God, saying there is none righteous, no, not one. So that leaves man with a problem. If all of a sudden he says, the righteousness of God is in the gospel, right? And then he says, look, you're all unrighteous. So then he begins to introduce them to what we're talking about today, the righteousness of God. In chapter 3, verse 21, please turn there if you don't mind. As we begin to see Paul showing how this was accomplished, remember the new covenant would take the law of God that was written on tables of stone and change it to where now the law of God would be written within the heart of man. And it would be no more saying to his neighbor or to his brother, "Know God, for all will know me." How is that possible? Well, he would eradicate their sin. And he would do it through the person of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, verse 21, we kind of hit on this a little bit last Sunday, but it says this: "But now, apart from the law," remember the law is the old covenant. "Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God," or the righteousness that is from God, "is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." In other words, this didn't just come out of nowhere. And Paul would begin to show it's actually seen in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, but now it's been revealed. It was hidden from their eyes, but Jesus came. Amen? It says, "This righteousness of God comes how?" And it says, "Through faith in Jesus Christ to all and upon all who" do what? "Believe. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth." This is talking about Jesus. "God has set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood for a demonstration of his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins previously committed to prove his righteousness at this present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of him who has faith in Jesus." In verse 25, it says, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood for a demonstration of his righteousness," brings this out. That God has allowed Jesus Christ to be the propitiation for sin. Well, what is propitiation, Pastor? Propitiation is another word for an atonement for sin. Well, then what's atonement, Pastor? An atonement for sin means a covering for sin. Jesus Christ is your and my covering. There is no other covering afforded to man by which his sin can be removed except the covering of Jesus. God has made him to be the propitiation, the atonement, the covering for our sin. It's through Jesus Christ and his righteousness alone that has allowed us to be the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, look at verse 27. It says, "Well, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the works of faith. Therefore we conclude," Paul said, "that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law." This is, in essence, the new covenant. If you don't mind, go back with me to Jeremiah 31. And I want us to see again the new covenant in Jeremiah's words, verse 33. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. And he says this. And as I read this, keep in mind what we just read from Paul in Romans. He says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more." God's plan to make you righteous in his sight would make you completely righteous in his sight. God would make you to be forgiven and free in Christ Jesus. You don't have to be under the bondage of the law anymore to strive to please God by keeping the Ten Commandments anymore. For in Christ Jesus, the law of God has been written within our hearts. And when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he makes his dwelling within your heart. And now there has been a change to where now we desire to serve God rather than we feel forced to serve God. Where there's a longing for God, where there used to be just a disdain for God. The Bible says there used to be enmity between us, a kind of warring between us and God. And it was because of our own sinfulness. But God took that out of the way so that now we can experience God. God loves you and me. And God wants you to spend time with Him, and He wants to spend time with you. And He made it all possible through the finished work of the cross. When you preach the cross, you preach the new covenant. When you preach the new covenant, you preach the cross. And when we proclaim the finished work of Calvary, we're proclaiming a finished work. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and said, "It is finished," all that was necessary to justify you and me was accomplished there. And when He died on that cross, all of our sin went into the grave with Him. Amen. And when He came out of that grave 3 days later, we came out of that grave justified by faith. We can walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be bound by our old habits, our old ways any longer. We can live free in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. You have received, as a child of God, God's righteousness. Like I said before, when we first got saved, I know when I first got saved, I didn't understand a thing of what I'm saying now. I really didn't. You would have told me you received God's righteousness, that I would have thought, huh. You know, I had to chew on it for a while. That was meat. It wasn't milk. But when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you received the righteousness of God. Complete acceptance in His sight. He's not going to turn you away. You are His child. When Jesus came out of that grave, He told, was it Mary? He said, "Go and tell them. Tell my disciples that I'm going to my Father and your Father. My God and your God." Amen? Sometimes we don't fully realize who we are in Christ, but you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are accepted. You are loved. You are favored. You are blessed. You are His. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.